It happens.
Oh.
Talk shoes.
Recorded live.
A synchromystic lives in constant awareness while being awash in pop culture. Always open to uncanny connections between the divine and the everyday. The sync is simultaneously discovered and created. It only exists because someone is there to experience it. It happens when a scene comes on the TV as you enter the room depicting the exact circumstances of a secret you harbor from everyone present. I mean, I don't even have to read anymore. Welcome. This is 42 Minutes. I'm Will Morgan. As always, I'm here with Doug Bowles. It is the second quarter of 2012. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to spring. And we are online with the fantastic Mr. Jennifer Palmer. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. Now, if anybody doesn't know, Jennifer Palmer is one of the contributing editors to Reality Sandwich. Is that correct? Do I have that correct?
That's right. I'm a contributing editor. I'm also managing a good deal of the Daily Flow now, so I'm kind of doing a little bit of everything over at Reality Sandwich and Evolver, working with Daniel Pinchbeck and just thousands of people all around the world, so it's awesome. Just lots of fun.
What exactly is your mission, I guess I should ask?
For Evolver and or my own personal mission, they intersect.
Well, I was saying, for Reality Sandwich and Evolver, I mean, what is the point of the online magazine?
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, Reality Sandwich started about 5 years ago based on the writings Daniel Pinchbeck, kind of his books, Breaking Open the Head and 2012, The Return of Quetzalcoatl, really sparked a lot of things in a lot of people's lives and just kind of very synchronistically worked its way into becoming an active kind of part of people's transformations, just knowing that something else was going on. And so these little themes that started popping up that were already going on that he mentioned in those books started collecting online on a forum that he was on, and then he started the website Reality Sandwich just to continue and kind of getting content from all sorts of writers and just amazing people. Everybody from, you know, beatniks all the way through to hackers to everybody in between. So that's been just a site going on, being really content-based. And then Evolver came up out of that as a social media network, and it's also some satellite sites, like something we're doing with a webinar series called Evolver Intensives. So it's about these ways to interact with people using online tools, but also then to create and foster these offline meetups that we call SPORs. We have them all around the world, and that's another kind of we play with synchromystic themes a lot, actually, because we want to catalyze that kind of magic. So one of the things that the SPORs do is pick an event, a theme, and every month get together around these different themes, trying to do it on the same day and around about the same time, and people explore and have, like, you know, just community and gatherings and, like, music and some presentations, and just community. So it's really been cool. It's really been transformative, and it's really like a healing mission in a lot of ways. So it's real. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Oh, what about your own personal mission then?
My own personal mission. I guess just to keep, you know, writing and being inspired and just kind of opening up each day to new possibilities for being. I mean, it's kind of, I kind of whittled it down. Before, I would have said, oh, I need to finish this book I'm working on. I'm working on a book about online telepathy, and then, like, you know, the sync stuff and the this stuff and that. And I just realized that it's really becoming, as maybe it's 2012 or whatever, this just feeling that's going on. It's like, oh, well, I'm just going to do what just kind of happens and, like, try to focus on that. So it sounds pretty zen-like, but that's where I'm at. I was really affected by a book I read, Manifesto for the Noosphere, which is actually a book that we helped put out on our Evolver Editions publishing imprint, and it's the last work by Jose Arguelles, who actually proposed a calendar based on synchronicity, a 13-month calendar that he actually brought from the ancient Mayans and years ago, is responsible for kind of bringing that into consciousness, to mainstream consciousness, or a little bit of mainstream consciousness, because a lot of people never heard of him. But his idea was that there really is this end date on the calendar, and that it's not just roundabout, but it all works out in a synchronistic way with two major cycles ending on December 21st, 2012. And, you know, it's hard to pin all of your feelings like that something could be changing on one date. That seems kind of crazy, but he's actually saying, you know, they didn't do all this calculation and all this for to have it all on this one day to mean something else. And so there's this sense, though, of things that he wrote about in that work, and he referred to it as the noosphere, and that I think is coming true right now. So, I mean, I think that's been a hugely inspiring work for me, like just feeling like we're all kind of a part of this, waking up to psychic and the synchronistic experience on a large scale. So,
the curiosity for me about online telepathy and the internet as a kind of a training tool for opening people up to the larger network is, at some point, does it become a trap, or how do we move beyond the training wheels?
That's when you say a trap, you mean like a endless time sink distraction?
Well, we get stuck in this kind of almost alternate space. Like, so we're connected, but then somehow it's disconnected from reality on one level, too. It's like making both. In your piece, you do a really nice job of communicating how both Jake and Jim are present in the real world, but then also present in the online world.
Right.
You see.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, go on, I'm sorry.
Do you see people moving? Like, at some point, do we just somehow lose our devices and all of a sudden we realize that we're connected anyway and we don't need the internet?
Yeah, basically, yes. I would have said a couple months ago, even when I wrote that piece, that I felt like it would be some amalgamation maybe of tech, and maybe that's like a cyborg. Not that we become robots, but, you know, we're already, by certain definitions of what a cyborg is, if you have a smartphone, you already essentially are. You know, I'm not holding mine in my head for medical health reasons, but that I believe in. But if you do, it's kind of like this attached helmet of being, you know, connected to technology constantly or nearly constantly. But I now think it's actually just really that our psychic abilities are waking up. Like, we're getting activated, and there's various theories maybe why that's happening, but I think that across, as wild and as science fiction as it sounds, like, we aren't going to need the devices and we aren't going to need that technology pretty soon. And it's already happening, I think. And that's what actually the online telepathy, when you open up to it and kind of put aside how crazy it seems and then just kind of go with it, you realize that it's not about being contained online, like hooked up to the online world to get that magic kick or whatever it is, because it is kind of, you know, it is magical. And if you're, you know, already into being online, it might feel like something like that's justifying like spending even more time online. And I've actually had people say that to me, like, oh, well, that's not what this is all about, right? Like, just sitting in our little rooms. And absolutely, I mean, that's part of what I think it is like taking both and showing that they're one, which is really where it's kind of interestingly leading, in some kind of amalgamation where we don't need the devices, weirdly enough.
Well, okay, so you did a pretty good job of showing how the device is just a mirror, that you're already connected, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you and
but
I are doing.
Do you think it's like training wheels? I mean, is this just showing us or trying to teach us or trying to wake up powers that we already have in our hands or in our bodies? I mean, our hands. What a weird thing to say. There are these powers that we have, like, in ourselves that we're waking up to because of the devices, kind of like Do you know what I mean? Like a
yeah, no, I do. I think it's cool that you said you, it's cool that you kind of said in our hands, and then you, because I think that weirdly enough, it's what it's also showing us is that our brain and our concept of mind is like stuck in like a, like we think of computers and technology similarly, and now it's becoming more and more decentralized and smaller and on these phones. It is with our hands. Like we have this body brain now, and I think that's part of what is becoming a new way of being, where I think hopefully anyway, because I think it'll be very liberating, is to get rid of only thinking with your brain or thinking with your, and by that I mean like mind concepts. Like there's feelings and intuitions and what we kind of know from sync, there's, and what I tried to write about in that piece in the book, is that it's the feeling around it too that guides you. And what does that mean? And where does that come from? And a lot of times, I don't think it's from concepts or even language, something outside of them. And for me, that's like a, almost like a visceral experience. And or it's not almost, it is. But it's so then what do you do with that? And I think that's kind of cool. You said that about in your hands, because it's not, like when we talk about visceral experiences, we always use words like I felt it in my gut, you know, like it was a gut reaction, or like, you know, a mother's like kind of knowledge and intuition is thought of as like not being in her brain, it's in her body. So we've already kind of moved to metaphors like that. I think that's what's trying to come out now. And weirdly enough, we think of tech as like very brain, but I think it's doing something else as well. And that's what the kind of connection that we also have with one another. It's not just like, I know you're out there. It's like, I feel you're out there. So I don't know if that's, that's like kind of woo-woo, but it's just, you know, where I'm at these days. That's what,
okay,
know,
so here's a really difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
So on 9/11, you really craved a bottle of Gatorade.
Yeah.
And now is this something that you normally drink, or is this outside the realm of your normal?
That back then it was probably something I would drink from time to time, just if I, you know, now I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, but
well, because it's just, it's kind of cute. I mean, you can tell how it's like, it's just this innocuous little thing, almost like a little product placement, but then it's like a perfect sink for what's coming. It's like, oh, Gatorade, really?
Yeah, no,
it's tailored to, perhaps, would you say it's like tailored through Jennifer's point of view? May I call you Jennifer, is that okay?
Yeah, that's great.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the sink of the Gatorade, because of the way I translate it is the 9/11 gate and how we call gators. So it's like a gator's aid. Like, she's a gator, she's a 9/11 aider. You're going to need this hydration for 9/11. Like, but it's
totally
Jennifer's, like, personality. Like, it's like a message from her to her. Does that make sense? Like, it's to be translated by Jennifer. Does that make sense? Does anybody get what I'm saying?
I like it. Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
It's like almost like it was designed for you, by you, to be absolutely loved later.
Well, it's interesting because the moment when that actually, that is exactly what happened with the Gatorade and going there, it was like the person wasn't there at the counter, and there was like, it took a while for, so everything was already in the realm of the uncanny at that point, because you had stores and things where normally in New York City and most places, you have people, well, don't leave the register, you know, you don't wander off. And there were just doors open and people, like, not there. And so I just was standing there for a long time, and I remember just, like, wondering if I should walk out with it and staring at the bottle and kind of just having a moment of pause. But I think why I wanted it as well is I was mad thirsty. Like, it was hot out, and I had just been on that bridge for a long time in the sun. So it really was, like, a need to, like, get something that I thought would, I felt also just kind of overwhelmed in general, but it was a pause, and it was this moment. It took the woman a long time to get there, and
that's fantastic. See, that's like, yeah, edit.
Yeah, it, I mean, it's funny to the sink is great. I love it. It's just, you know, the gators, and is a Gatorade. It's an aid for me. Like the sink community out there has been like
that's been transformative for me, because knowing that I wasn't, when it all started, I'm sure other people have this experience as well, but knowing that you weren't just totally nuts, or if you were nuts, it was nuts in a way that other people were there with you. You know, that was the initial thing, of course, but it just started amplifying, you know, everything.
If people are with you, it's funny because when I got the Sync book originally, I opened it at random because I was like, okay, what story am I being drawn to? You know what I mean? And yours came three times.
Yeah,
on three different days, because it was like day three or something like that. Or it took me a while to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel my head tingling when I read that first paragraph. That's why I wanted to read it out loud when we started this podcast, because I want people to get that feeling of connection. The way that you explain it, and just almost like, not even, it's open. It's like, this very simple language talking to me on a very personal level, like, yes, I know that this is how it is. This is what living with Sync is like, without being wordy or anything like that. It's just it's a very beautiful piece.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, it's funny because I reread the piece last night, and it's funny because every once in a while I need to be reminded how awesome the Sync book is, and your piece does that so well, because, like he's saying, I mean, I don't think that's what's curious about this whole thing is that we all kind of experience the world the same way, and then once we started finding each other, it's like, oh, you speak the same language that I do. You understand what I'm talking about. But you communicate that so well by using the feeling as kind of your lens into this thing. So, yeah, bravo.
Thank you. Bravo. No, it's so great to be a part of the Sync book, and I love opening it at random and seeing where I end up. It's fun.
I need you for some news, though. What are the streets in New York like right now?
Streets of New York, well, there is major percolation going on. There has been all winter. Like, we are in a time of, like, super amping up, and I think May 1st is the day. We are, the Occupy movement, the unions, the schools, it's just May 1st, walk out. People on the streets, crazy actions, subways are
worded. Fucked up. Do you realize how fucked up it is? May 1st, day the Illuminati was initiated. Like, that's so fucked up. 2012. Like, that's fucking crazy.
That's what I'm saying. So, just like, wherever you are, like, just, you know, make it happen. It's worldwide, you know, like, all of this is now, you know, online and happening for everybody to be a part of. And, you know, it's just 9/11 taught us that's another lesson from that day, what it was like to be connected to people in a new way as something was unfolding. I mean, that had happened before, but, you know, you had the OJ trial and other, you know, mega events, you know, where you had the news. But then we know now, like, what it means to really focus on something and, like, really amplify it. And it's so cool because over the winter, the Occupy movement kind of went indoors, literally, and they've been kind of meeting in the space that I meet in and meeting with them, and everybody's kind of doing their thing. And what's so cool is that it's like getting more systematized and not like bureaucratic, though, because people are still using the process of the General Assemblies to make decisions, which can be a little, you know, much sometimes, like, for some people, but it's working, and it's like real deal. So it's to answer your question, streets in New York, like the streets that I'm like walking around in, which are Brooklyn and like the downtown area of Manhattan, feel like good stuff is happening. You know, there's always is everybody still there?
We're here.
Okay, cool. There's always like the you know, the sort of tourist capitalist craziness of New York City, as you know, there has been for the last, I don't know how many years since it tried to fix itself, so to speak. And you know, there's that element where you see people are still kind of mindlessly doing their consumption game. Like certain parts of the city, you wouldn't know there was ever had ever been any financial issue whatsoever, you know. And then there's other parts where people are hurting, and you can see that too on the trains and you know, the homeless. There's a lot of that going on again, like in new waves you can see. And so there's a lot, you know, as usual going on. But there's a feeling, and the feeling started last fall, that it's like, okay, now what's going to happen? It's gonna be huge. I mean, I don't see how it can't be just an unbelievable thing. So
it's almost like, I don't know, like the whole end date of the Mayan calendar is going to be big, just because everybody's been pushing it for it to be big for so long. Like,
totally.
This is a time of change. Like,
talking to Sport Rapture, Will?
What's that?
I said, are you beginning to talk sync rapture? Is that what you're doing here?
You got me. You called me. Okay, I'm sorry. It's happening. It's happening. I just can't believe it. May 1st, 2012, like the push against the Illuminati. I don't know. Or the push for everyone to be the Illuminati. Like this is the initiation of the world.
Exactly. I think that's a beautiful way to look at it, because, you know, let's occupy that structure. Let's occupy the Illuminati, you know.
Occupy Illuminati, that's it.
Okay, so you participated in the Sync event this past January. What was that experience like for you, Jen? Was that
I liked it a lot. I like whenever you can meet people from, you know, that you knew just from online worlds, and then they, you know, and that's always like a magical kind of moment, because it's like, oh, you, and so that was awesome, and I was, and Alan is great, and he's been, you know, he just deserves so much praise for making the book happen and making everything else happen that he's doing. He's like a driven, amazing guy, you know, so that's how these projects see fruition. They don't, it's not just like a bunch of us, like, thinking and writing, you know, somebody has to rein it in, you know, as everybody knows. So it's really awesome. But
so for those people who weren't present in the theater, your presentation, what was the nature of it for the Sync?
My presentation, yeah. I got up and talked a little bit, again, like trying to riff off of the feeling of Sync piece. Trying to talk about, like, okay, like, let's, like, look at what a sync, or what I consider a sync to be in terms of, like, how it affects me personally, like, what that aspect of it's like. So I just try to look through a sync thread, if you will. Like, it's interesting, the language is still being formed, so, like, I even find myself oscillating between certain terminology, and we all kind of have our own words, but I mean, like, a series of syncs, like, ones that there's, like, that initial kind of moment where something gets crystallized and you're like, oh, this is connected to this in this way. And then for me, a lot of times there's subsequent moments, almost like aftershocks, but then sometimes they take on a life of their own, and then you can call this, like, I know Jake refers to it really as the web, and I do too in a lot of ways, but it's sometimes more fluid. It's kind of like streams, and that kind of fits with an online kind of feeling as well, like these social media streams. But whatever, whatever word you want to use, the idea was that it was like one of these thread streams, something, these flows, where I was seeing certain things over and over again. And in this case, it started with the tongue and lips logo of the Rolling Stones, the famous kind of open tongue hanging out. And I was seeing that just in these very specific emotional or kind of even spiritual moments, like the logo would show up. And I mean, it's a popular logo, and it shows up in a lot of places. But this was coming like during a time of you know, transformation for my family and for me, and it just seemed to be like almost like pushing towards something. So what I do then with a sync like that shows up in an emotional way like that, I start looking for like looking at it, like I'm like, why does this symbol keep showing up? And it would show up like I would be like in the middle of like having a very upsetting moment, like maybe in prayer, or like on the subway, and like being like, oh man, like how am I going to figure this out, and like what should I do, and then look up and it would be there, and that it would be that kind of moment like a bunch of times, like maybe it was on somebody's bag or a shirt or
it was in a restaurant, like in a, yeah, so
it would be given to you when you needed an answer. Like it was almost like the answer to the question that you were internally asking.
Exactly, but it was like it showed something. It was kind of like a lot of the questions I was asking were about you know, had to do with my sexuality and my femininity and just like my place and like the place I hold as a woman, and just having these kind of real moments with that, going through like my grandmother passing and you know, just things that were happening. So it was like this, almost like this counter note, like that it was almost like this kind of brash, kind of like sexual, but yet fun, but yet something else going on. And so I investigated the image, and this is what I talked about in the presentation, and found out that it was designed by a student in the London School of Design, back in the day for the Rolling Stones, and it was based on, he said, you know, a lot of Mick Jagger's like face, like his tongue and lips, but also one image that Mick Jagger brought that he wanted him to maybe use, which was of Kali Yuga, and that's the Hindu goddess of like creative destruction and like kind of the fierce mother, and she appears like barefoot and blue with like her tongue out and like a necklace of human heads, and like she's like destructive but creative force. And I thought that was really interesting, and we see the image, of course, like used over and over again. And I started then, once I looked into it, it started sinking like as that image, but it was like kind of stripped from the icon, and it was more the Kali Yuga part. Like I was looking, I saw in a Busta Rhymes video, I would see, you know, the rock group Kiss, I would see it like in Andy Warhol, like the Polaroids, or, you know, they just like the tongue and lips coming in different forms now, at piercings, people showing me and stuff like that. And so anyway, just, I don't know how much time I want to do it, but I had a sync then like with it when I gave a talk up in New Paltz, where I saw the tongue and lips logo across the street in a t-shirt shop before I gave the talk, and this was with Kevin, one of the authors in the sync book as well. And so I was like, wow, that's a great sign, you know, like this little, like, because I'd been syncing with it already. And I said, it's like just happens to be there right across the street on this t-shirt, this tie-dye t-shirt that was New Paltz, kind of hippie, upstate New York town. And so it had this, so I go back in and I give my talk, and at the end we're all hanging out, and I was like, yeah, it was a really great sign, you know, you always get nervous before you give a talk. But then I saw this sync that I've been having, and then we talked about the sync a little bit, like the tongue and lips, and I gave some of the story I just did and talked about how it was this, like, you know, fierce kind of symbol and Kali Yuga, and it had this, like, resonance for me. And then Kevin talked about how it was also related to notions of the devil, and, like, that like, this tongue and lips. Sorry?
On the belly, the tongues, but the open mouth with the tongue hanging out on the alchemical visions of the devil. It's like it's coming out of his tummy, it's coming out of his stomach. It's the same symbolism. Yeah, that's crazy. That's cool. I dig that.
Well, and then so he noted that, and he said that about it coming out of the belly, and I was like, wow, because I had been just going through a healing with, like, my stomach, actually, at that point, which I thought was really interesting. And then Kevin goes, yeah, it kind of looked like this, and he pulls up his shirt and has a tattoo of the tongue and lips on his belly. And so I was like, what? That's awesome. And so we think that way, and then I gave this same talk then about this incident of the sink with Kevin having the tattoo and the devil and all that at a gathering, a reality sandwich retreat in Utah, where I was talking about online telepathy, and I mentioned some of this and like how, you know, images and sink, and we were talking about this, and it turns out the son of the guy who designed the original logo was sitting right in front of me. He's like, yeah, I know that logo. My dad designed it, the tongue and lips. So I was just like, all right, we're back thinking again. So it was great.
Crazy cool.
Yeah.
So to be fully honest, I was in the audience when you told that story. And the gotcha for that, you know, as you got to the end of your sync web, it was just like, bang. It's like, oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's just a lot of fun. It's always that kind of...
almost like you're writing this stuff. Not like, you know, it's like, not that you're going through the web and then getting to the end and saying, wow, what a great story. It's like, okay, how could I compose a really compelling piece of fiction? And that's how I felt about your piece in the Sync book too, because your 9/11 stuff is just so compelling. How you were witnessing the towers before the event. It's 42 minutes. I'm Doug, and we're with Will and Jennifer Palmer, and we're about 30 minutes through. So you mentioned in the Sync book, Jen, that this is one of those instances where your friends don't want to know that you were having what would be called telepathy before, or precognition or some kind of prophecy, and that kind of stuff makes me nervous too. But you know, this is like the idea of the black swan, where you're able to see the unseeable.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like not a comfortable thing for me either. Like, it doesn't, you know, but what's interesting is that I don't think it's magic at all. Like, we use that word, but I don't think it or anything like that. I think it's actually something that I think a lot of people probably experience, and I think it has to do with the nature of an event and possibly the nature of sync and the nature of time. And I think it has to do with the resonances that an event sends out in directions and the way we're moving. And probably something that if you got somebody who really knew about physics, we're actually, you know, or like Nassim Harriman or somebody who can be visionary about physics even, on that they could talk about. But I just have a sense that big events go out in radiating ways, and I think that you can pick up on things, and it's not, it's just like the difference of, you know, some people hear better in certain ways. We're not better, but just it's something I think that just shows up sometimes in for certain events. Not even so. I imagine I'm part of the reason I wanted to put that out there is for 9/11 and other events. I think this happens to a lot of people. So
I think you're right, but people don't know what to do with that.
Exactly.
The event is never. I mean, that was a huge. I mean, if you have like premonitions about a bus crashing and then a bus crashes. But it's like a real localized thing. It's not a non-local event like 9/11 was. You know, it was your local event. It's just interesting because in that instance, the whole world was in sync because it was such a huge.
Right. I just, you know what I think it is. It's like it was a local event though for me. That's interesting you said that. It was also a non-local event, which I think every event is like that. This. What's interesting about an event like 9/11 is that it's not that it's different in some ways. It just reveals what is hidden usually about events. So this one kind of comes at us with its, you know, the reality already stripped away. It's like poking through from something that we can't quite explain with language, and it's like a, you know, there's a slippage of myths or realities or whatever you want to call it, and. You know, so it's outside of that already. You know, it's kind of moving, and I think all events come packaged in certain ways with our biases about reality, and we really actually strip it down. And this is what happens sometimes with psychedelics or with spiritual experiences, like mystical things that happen to people that don't fit in. They just do not fit in with ordinary reality. It takes you out of that in some way. But then it makes you, a lot of people question, well, then what is this? You know, what is this underpinning of belief? And I'm not saying that we should, you know, walk around and not, you know, and not engage in reality or something in terms of like saying, oh, all this isn't real. It's just, you know, what does that mean? And so I think events that are experienced in different ways, there's ways of experiencing like that go outside of perception and are more of a direct kind of communication that's also coming through. And that's like online with telepathic and sync kind of communication. I think it's interesting to think that like sync and telepathy are really the same thing in a certain sense. And we get used to talking about them as separate things, but the more you think about it, it's like information coming to you packaged in with the senses and like what you're picking up, but there's always something else. It's like something that is beyond what you were just able to get in the imagery. So, or in the oral or the audio or whatever. There's like a, I mean, it doesn't fit quite there, and that's like another type of information, I believe, and that's like the, you know, that's like the non-language, non-direct, or maybe it's more direct way of telepathically communicating.
Okay, so before we run out of time, I would really like for you to talk a little bit about what it was like visiting Winnipeg.
Visiting Winnipeg?
Yes.
Yeah, oh man, I am writing like something about that because it's just, it was an amazing experience. And Jake and Jim and the other folks I met there are just beautiful people living in a very special place. And I don't know if it's necessarily able to be described, but like going there, I felt like I was at home and I felt very taken care of, and just like there was a lot of love there. And it really is like what I refer to as think capital of the world, because there's something going on where you feel, at least even just like by the time I landed, like I was in this like energy web that you know, anything was really possible, and that everything was basically going to be in this like weird flow, and but yet very chill and very, you know, non like in your face, like you can just kind of give into it and enjoy it. So it's hard to describe, but there's something very special going on there, and the indigenous influences in the sense of like the that they really several cultures believe they're at the center of the world there, really the center of the continent, and I think there, in a lot of ways, it is the center. Like, I felt that way, sort of mythical center if you will. So yeah, very people should check it out. You know, if you're into sync, go to Winnipeg. I don't know. I'm sure that people will meet up with you for lunch.
It's interesting because there's definitely a history there. I think last year I watched both a film and read a graphic novel about just the depth of meaning in the lives of the people who have related to the land there. Both the movie was called My Winnipeg, and then the graphic novel was about Louis Riel, who,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Manitoba means like the voice of God or message of God or something to that effect. It's a curious place, to be sure.
Well, there's a place where, I don't want to botch the myth, but where at least two rivers, possibly three, intersect right outside of the city, and this is a sacred spot in Manitoba that's believed to be Genesis, like where everything began, where the world began, essentially. And there's another part that exact spot relates to down in Peru, where the people there believe it, and I don't know exactly how it works, but that they're connected energetically and spiritually to that spot. So it's just amazing because you have the influence of like the plant medicine and the work that's being done in South America. It's part of the community there in Winnipeg, and I think there's a reason for that. There's something happening that's being communicated, and that might be part of this time change. I don't know. It's certainly felt like
in
it felt like wow.
We were talking about how large events end up kind of breaking down our notion of what time is.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg may be doing the same thing, where they're getting us to, it's a mirror again, where the internet is a mirror, Winnipeg is a mirror, getting you to get involved in your own land and finding the same type of resonances in your own sacred landscape.
I like that idea, yeah.
We're 38 minutes past, Will. We're running out of our 42 minutes. Did you have any directions you wanted to go for the last couple moments?
Well,
what about you? Well, that's something. Could you please, Jennifer, tell us or tell our listeners where they can find your work in its various forms?
Definitely.
isn't there an article that gets circulated often about your or something that you wrote about the telepathic relationship to the internet and so forth?
Yeah, I have a few pieces that are on Reality Sandwich. If you go there, you can go to my blog, so you can just go to realitysandwich.com, and my name is on the right there, actually, if you scroll down, Jennifer Palmer, but you can also go to my Tumblr blog, where I have all the information, including my Twitter stream, which is just True, on T-R-U-E on Twitter, and on Tumblr, it's brandtrueboy.com. I post blog posts, some of my writing there, and I'm also in the Think Book, and then Towards 2012, which is Towards 2012 is an anthology from Reality Sandwich, and that's also where you can find the Twitter piece, and that's on Amazon by Penguin, so you can check that out. And but Reality Sandwich is I should have another article coming out pretty soon that's about Think a little bit as well, and the Occupy movement, so.
Occupy Illuminati, May 1st, 2012.
Yes, that's the most important date. Remember it, May 1st, everybody.
That's funny.
We are the 100%.
Okay, so to wrap it all up, what can you tell us about Bob Balaban, Jennifer? Go ahead.
Say it one more time. What was that?
Well, Will and I have been being hit by this actor by the name of Bob Balaban, or Balaban. He's like the midwife to this transformational experience, and for some reason we're just being beaten over the head with this actor.
Balaban? No, I don't know that, but I've been thinking about Bob from Twin Peaks. I don't know if there's any.
Oh, Bob from Twin Peaks. Interesting.
So I'm glad everybody's comfortable with nerdality.
What was that?
I said I'm glad everybody's comfortable with nerdality.
Nerdality.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but we're going to wrap it up this week. It was great talking to you, Jennifer.
Great talking to you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate you guys ask great questions.
Yeah, we really appreciated you two from the Think Book.
Excuse me. Would you like to continue the conversation on Skype for a few minutes at least?
Yeah, I can do that for a few minutes. I'm going to have to jump, but let me. Jay Palmer 222.
Okay.
Okay, I'll get on in just a minute.
Okay. Right. Well, thanks, everyone. Next week we have MK Ultrasound, and it's been great. Thank you so much.